That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Fox 2 presents Hancock and Kelly.
Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2, where we take on the top issues of the week. On the right, John Hancock.
Hope you're having a swell day.
On the left, Michael Kelly.
It's a Masters Sunday. It gets no better.
Oh, that's right. That's tradition like no other, right?
Right.
So is Hancock and Kelly. I'm Andy Banker. On the agenda this morning, nightmarish global publicity about downtown St. Louis gets splashed on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Missouri's Attorney General takes on President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Big flubs on the presidential campaign trail. Who has more to lose? Former President Trump with abortion or President Biden with inflation? And our quote of the week is about the death of O.J. Simpson and old wounds reopened very close to home here in St. Louis. Also closing the gun show loophole, Iran attacks Israel, and from First Lady Jill Biden. Yeah, she came to St. Louis. Is she sensing maybe Missouri is in play come November? But we begin with dubious news about downtown St. Louis, front and center, worldwide, page one of the Wall Street Journal. It prompted this response from downtown residents and Greater St. Louis, Inc., an organization promoting economic growth in St. Louis.
We had a really strong office space for a long time. The future of downtowns is going to be a lot more mixing of uses. So it's got to be a lot more residential. We've already started to see that. You know, already today, we don't recognize it enough, I'd say. More than 10,000 people live downtown today.
My first thought when I moved here was a lot of revitalization going on. I feel like the city's pushing to bring a lot more people downtown, activity-wise and living.
Overall, the quality of life downtown is pretty good.
But the Journal's report called downtown St. Louis's floundering real estate market a nightmare. Three of downtown's largest signature buildings, the Railway Exchange famous bar building, the Stouffer's Millennium Hotel building, and the AT&T Tower, have been empty for nearly a decade, even longer in the case of the Millennium. The report said downtown was in a doom loop, with empty buildings sucking the life from the streets around them, leading more businesses to leave, making downtown depressing and scary. Not welcome publicity, John, but no one seems to be arguing that it's false, right? It's right on.
Well, of course
it's
downtown. And this loop they're talking about, the businesses close, nobody comes down, causing the businesses to close, causing fewer people to come down. It's a real problem. I don't know how you begin to solve this thing either. But, you know, it's the business community, by ignoring this or whitewashing over it, is not doing us a good service here.
I was driving back from Illinois last night, crossing the Poplar Street Bridge. The arch lit up. Everything looks great. And then that signature Millennium Hotel, just this dark cylinder right in the middle of the skyline. How do you escape the doom loop?
I don't know. Well, the way you escape it is you recognize that it's happening. Look, the Wall Street Journal, I don't know about you guys, but I got that article sent to me from friends from all over the country. This was a jarring moment. It really set a tone that St. Louis is on a bad trajectory. Now, what's crazy is you just heard the Chamber of Commerce sit there say things are getting better, blah, 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 and then this article comes out. Sounds awfully familiar to a couple of weeks ago when they were saying crime numbers were down and then the Department of Justice surging in crime. Guys, we've got to recognize that there is a huge problem in St. Louis. And if you think back to all the great things that have happened in St. Louis, whether it be the World's Fair, whether it be the Arch, the Spirit of St. Louis, all of it was led by our business community. And now we're watching our business community parrot the language of the administration. They're the ones who are taking up the like a Baghdad Bob moment, putting their fingers in the air saying it's not that bad.
The mayor's administration.
Yeah, the mayor's administration and our business community. Collectively, we've got to recognize this is a problem. Surrounding communities need to be a part of the solution or we're all going to die together.
It's a big black eye.
It's not good. And, you know, the sad fact of the matter is that you do have all these empty buildings. Nobody's coming downtown. Overlaying all of this is a crime problem, of course. That's a further disincentive for people coming down. That AT&T building sold for $3.5 million,
right,
Andy.
Sold for
I'm shocked. I thought
plus.
Michael Kelly bought it. I mean, $3.5 million for that thing. That's nothing. What did it sell for?
$200 million.
Yeah.
Last
right.
Time. It's crazy.
It's not good.
Well, at that kind of price, I don't know if the buyer really has any incentive on doing something. The buyer's out of Boston, and they have announced no plans to do anything with it.
Right.
They won't talk to media. They're not talking about the purchase of that building.
And then we're sitting around as leaders all saying, well, things are getting better. No, they're not. We've got to have a focused, specific addressing of this issue, and it's got to be comprehensive and region-wide, maybe even statewide.
Missouri's Republican Attorney General takes aim at President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. Andrew Bailey announced he will file suit as part of a multi-state coalition to stop what he calls President Biden's attempt to illegally transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars in Ivy League debt onto Missouri working families. He points out that the U.S. Supreme Court has already struck down Mr. Biden's previous $430 billion student debt cancellation plan, saying the president cannot unilaterally do this. He needs approval from Congress. The president has announced another $7.4 billion in loan forgiveness for 277,000 people. He says it's through existing legal programs. He has now authorized the cancellation of $153 billion in student loan debt total for 4.3 million people, which is nearly 10% of all federal student loan debt. Michael, Republicans say he's ignoring the law, ignoring the Supreme Court, and blatantly trying to buy votes for November.
Well, whether or not he's ignoring the law, the courts will make the final ruling on that. The challenges to this point have said, hey, you can't do this.
Is this buying votes?
I don't know that it's buying votes. I think it's evening out the playing field. During COVID, we watched this government and the Republican-led administration say, everybody apply for a loan. We're going to let you just not have to pay it back. These poor kids that we have put the burden of our economy on their shoulders are sitting there right now with house payments without a home. It's called school loans. And they continue to get overwhelmed by this. Why shouldn't they get their fair share, too, when we were handing out all this cash? Why should it only go to the billionaires?
Now, this can be argued and adjudicated, but is it right for the attorney general of a state to sue the
yes.
United States?
Yeah. Biden's wrong. He doesn't have the authority. He knows he doesn't have the authority. The court said he doesn't have the authority. The president can't go out and spend money like this unilaterally. He can't do it. And to the extent he's giving people false hope out there that their student loans are going to be forgiven, that's not good. And look, this is not the PPP situation. That was a boondoggle. It was a mess. But the government said on the front end, we'll give you money and you won't have to pay it back. That's not the case with these student loans. You're taking out a contract and promising to pay that money back. And what about the millions of American families out there who have sacrificed and paid for their education or have taken out student loans and paid them back? This is fundamentally unfair. It's bad policy, and he's not going to get away with it.
First Lady Jill Biden was in St. Louis to raise money for her husband's reelection bid. Fellow Democrat St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones greeted Mrs. Biden at the airport. Longtime St. Louis Democrat operative and aide to Congressman Dick Gephardt back in the day, Joyce Abusi hosted an event at her home to raise money for the Biden Victory Fund. It's a big deal, is it not, Michael Kelly?
Well, there's a lot of money and a lot of Democrats in St. Louis that support this administration and want to continue to see it go forward. I wouldn't read into this that suddenly Missouri's in play. It's not. This is a red state that continues to get stronger and stronger for the Republicans. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of Democrats, institutional Democrats, who are putting money into this race to make sure Joe Biden gets reelected.
You know, I cast this against the Wall Street Journal article. Does this still tell us something about the national prominence and importance of St. Louis that the First Lady comes here?
Well, you've got a lot of wealthy
Hobnob
people.
Yeah.
A lot of wealthy people here, both parties, and it's a fundraising destination for all of these candidates. But beyond that, not so much.
Israeli officials claim their defense systems took out more than 300 drones and missiles launched by Iran overnight. Iran attacked in retaliation for Israel's bombing of the Iranian consulate in Syria earlier this month. Israeli officials claim 99% of the drones and missiles were intercepted. The only injury reported so far is a 7-year-old Israeli girl critically wounded by shrapnel. Though the United States is praising the performance of the defense system, President Biden warns the U.S. will not support any offensive operations in retaliation now by Israel against Iran. Is that the right stance, John?
Well, look, if Israel attacks Iran, that's going to escalate this thing, and we're not going to have a choice. We already participated last night in shooting down some of those drones, which is good. But I think here, what you have to hope for is some de-escalation. Israel threatening to go into Rafah in Gaza, that could be problematic. You've got forces aligned to the south, to the north with Hezbollah, and now Iran. Any more escalation here is very destabilizing, not just for the region, but for the whole world.
The president's right to pump the brakes.
Well, I hope...
Say, Israel, don't just stop. Let's keep it here.
Yeah, well, barring Iran doing more, you know, so keep an eye on it.
Former President Trump says it wouldn't have happened if he were still president.
Well, he says a lot of things that are a bunch of hogwash, and that's one of them. I personally am grateful that we have a person who has decades of experience, incredible knowledge, no impulses to ridiculous reflex reactions of nonsense, and who brings a calmness and a stability leading us in this conflict. Thank the Lord President Biden's here to help us avoid World War III.
And thankfully, those air defense systems worked. Could you imagine what we'd be talking about if they didn't work?
Well,
there were mass casualties and hundreds
right
or thousands
over the top of Jerusalem, right over Temple Mount. I mean, that's where those things were headed. And Israel's military preparedness and capacity is truly impressive.
Up next on Hancock and Kelly, inflation may be to Joe Biden what abortion is to Donald Trump. Who's doing better dealing with the Achilles heel of their campaign?
To hear more, listen to the podcast. Just search for Hancock and Kelly.
Well, Republicans just can't get away from the abortion issue as the campaign season heats up. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled the state must follow a Civil War era abortion ban that was enacted before Arizona was even a state. Former President Trump, who likes to take credit for the 2022 overturn of the Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion, struck a different tone after the Arizona court decision.
Yeah, they did, and that'll be straightened out. And as you know, it's all about states' rights. That'll be straightened out. And I'm sure that the governor and everybody else are going to bring it back into reason, and that'll be taken care of, I think, very quickly. What do you think about
Florida? In a social media post 2 days ago, Mr. Trump urged Arizona Republican lawmakers to use heart, common sense, and take immediate action to undo the near-total ban, which is pretty much what we have here in Missouri. Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be in Arizona to turn up the political heat on Republicans when it comes to abortion rights. Arizona is a key battleground state in November. Will the abortion issue sink any hopes Donald Trump has of winning there, Michael?
In Arizona, yes, potentially. Arizona's definitely in play. But you're exactly right when you say that this is the same law that exists here in Missouri. So is the president telling the Republicans in Missouri to fix this law as well? The Republicans this week were wasting more time going after Planned Parenthood, something that prevents people from being able to get pregnant here in Missouri. They're so out of touch. Donald Trump can try to nuance this all he wants. This is what the foot soldiers of the Republican Party want. It's out of line with where the American people are. And at a time where Joe Biden's facing record low polling numbers, an economy that's roaring, although still has inflation problems, this is going to be his greatest buttress to any of the problems that may come his way.
Is Donald Trump alienating that hard pro-life base?
I don't think so. But the Republicans have done a poor job of articulating a coherent policy on abortion. And what's been lost in this whole debate nationally for the last year is nobody's talking about the baby. And there is a life there. This is not simply a matter of liberty interest over one's own body. There's a baby involved here. And so the debate needs to focus on that reality. And we need to begin to speak compassionately about women that are in difficult, life-changing circumstances. But we cannot forget there's a baby, a human life involved in this issue.
President Biden flubbed on one of the worst issues for him politically, inflation.
We're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing.
That is not true. Inflation is higher now than when he became president. It has fallen considerably in the past year, though. Michael, a few years ago, Democrats, the president included, suggested high inflation was temporary, likely to be with us for months, not years. But gas is now looking like it's going to be $4 a gallon as we head back to November for the elections. Is there any kind of...
Andy, when you...
Does that doom any president's
re-election
chances?
When you put trillions of dollars into the economy, this was 100% predictable. What wasn't predictable is many people thought that it would stifle jobs. Jobs continue to grow, wage rates continue to go up, Inflation is coming down, but it's going to take a while. This is what happens when we put this much money in. It is a problem for the Democrats. Fortunately, they're running against Donald Trump and can make those stark comparisons as to progress as opposed to chaos.
Can he win re-election in this kind of an economy?
It's going to be tough because inflation, we all feel, it's a tax on everybody. Everybody pays it. Everybody sees it. Everybody experiences it. Everybody hates it. And while the rate has come down, the cumulative effect of 3 years of inflation has been profound. And we see last month it's beginning to creep up again. That's huge political trouble for Joe Biden.
Still to come on Hancock and Kelly, a big win for gun control supporters, but will it really make a difference? Also, our quote of the week on the death of O.J. Simpson. United States Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the closing of the so-called gun show loophole. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, the ATF, has tightened up language on who is considered a gun dealer and thereby required to register as a dealer, and thereby required to run federal background checks on people who buy guns. The Biden administration claims there are more than 20,000 unlicensed gun sellers in the United States selling firearms at gun shows and online. John's supporters call this common sense gun control, but there are congressional Republicans already saying it's unconstitutional. What's wrong with closing this loophole, especially if it saves even just one life?
Well, and here's the problem, is personal sales. So if I own a gun and I sell Michael a gun, you know, I'm not a dealer by definition. What happens at these gun shows, I don't have a problem with people passing background checks, but I think that law is already in place at gun shows. So I don't know that this solves much.
Michael, is it constitutional? More importantly, will it work?
I don't know.
Have an impact?
It would have worked probably 30 years ago when we first figured out this problem. There's so many guns in our society now, and there's no appetite for common sense that I hope this makes a dent. But boy, we've got a lot of other dents we've got to make before we're going to fix this problem.
Now to our quote of the week. Former football star, Hollywood actor, and accused double murderer O.J. Simpson died this past week, nearly 30 years after the murders of his former wife, Nicole, and her friend, Ron Goldman. Nearly 10 years after those crimes, I interviewed Simpson at Lambert Airport. He was in town selling autographed memorabilia. Goldman's mother, Sharon Rufo, who still lives in the St. Louis area, took Simpson to court back then in St. Louis County. A judge ordered that any money he made here go to Rufo in light of a civil court judgment finding Simpson liable for her son's death, awarding her nearly $1.3 million. Simpson told me he would never pay her a dime, and he never did. She says that too, and she says she wouldn't take his money anyway. I saw Sharon Rufo Thursday. She was overwhelmed by a rush of painful old memories and emotions that came back with the news of Simpson's death, but she asked that I share this message. Please let people know I miss my boy every day. Maybe now he can rest in peace. My feeling in talking to her, Michael, is that Simpson may be gone, but it just seems like this saga is never over.
Yeah, I hate to even talk about the guy because he's such a dirtball and the lives he's ruined. It was the defining issue of most of my young adult life, the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yeah, you remember distinctly like where you were and where you watched the verdict come
down. Yeah, and I think it changed how we view criminal court trials. We all watched it. And it was a miscarriage of justice. Our system is not perfect, and that was a case where it failed. It's the best judicial system in the world, but it's not perfect.
Is it just me? I mean, I feel like I've never personally felt more sad about this. Now, I did see Ron Goldman's mother. But like I said, it just feels like this isn't the end. I mean, he's dead, but this still feels like it hangs over us.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a huge miscarriage of justice. I mean, and I think as long as we're all alive, I mean, we know all these names of people associated with that. It's burnt into our memories forever.
And it gave us the Kardashians.
That's true. Final thoughts are next. First, Bomberito.com drone fox over the mighty JB Bridge in South County. I've crossed that a few thousand times. Final thoughts, Michael Kelly.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be like me, but today's one of the best days of the year. It's the finals of the Masters, and I'll be sitting on my couch watching it, and I won't be thinking about O.J. Simpson as he died this week. I'll be thinking about my friend Steve Branstetter. Steve meant a lot to a lot of people out there who have home loans, etc. He and I didn't agree on a doggone thing politically, but he was one of the finer human beings I ever met. Rest in peace, Steve Brandstetter.
Thank you, Michael. John?
Well, we had the eclipse this week, Andy.
Yes, out there, it was fabulous. Look at that.
A lot of people, you know, spent a lot of time traveling, going to, my own daughter went to Cape Girardeau to see the eclipse. They say it's not going to happen for another 20 years.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't get the whole big deal about the thing. You get a dark cloud up there, you get the same effect. But it did. It got dark for about, 48 seconds on Tuesday at some point?
It was more than 3 minutes where I was, almost 4 minutes.
Good for you, Andy.
It got cold.
Yeah, I mean, you got the sun and the moon right there. That's big stuff.
That's a fabulous camera work there by Fox 2 News photographer.
They did
Dave
a fine
Sharp.
Job.
Yeah.
A fine job.
Captured the essence of the eclipse. And now we eclipse the end of the show. I don't know.
Well said, Andy.
Tried to make it work. Thanks for being with us this morning. Fox News Sunday is next. And remember, if it's Sunday in St. Louis, it's Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2. We'll see you next week. And John will be ready for the next eclipse in 20 years.
Oh, yeah.